We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, you who hear every thought in our heads, you who smell every emotion in our heart, be with us, dear Lord. Forgive us our grievous sins, and may we ever walk in your light, the light of truth and repentance and forgiveness, dear Lord, that we might please you with our coming and going now and forevermore. In Christ our Savior, amen. The story is told of Dwight Renault. He grew up on a dairy farm. He was strong and hardworking. But Dwight, however, had a drinking problem. He was married and had two small kids, Lyle and Melanie. But Dwight drank more and more each and every year. They got worse and worse. In the small town where he grew up, where he lived and raised his family, he was known as the town drunk. He bounced from job to job, and every night he was in the bars. He would get in bar fights. After he was kicked out of one bar, he'd walk across the street to the next one and finish off the evening. He lived a truly miserable life. One day the police found him sitting in his car, dead from alcohol poisoning. Lyle, his son, went to school in that small town, but that wasn't easy for him. He was shunned and teased by both the students and the teachers. He was known as the poor kid, the son of the drunk, the bad seed. It was unfair that he should have to suffer for what his father was doing, but that's how people judge one another. The Israelites of Babylon saw themselves as a mistreated Lyle. They were accusing God of being unfair with them, judging them for what their fathers had done. That was the meaning of their strange little parable. The children suffer, their teeth are on edge, for what their fathers had done, eaten sour grapes. But God straightened them out. Israel of Babylon, judge correctly or fall under God's judgment. God pointed out to them, "For every living soul belongs to me, the Father as well as the Son. They all belong to me." The soul who sins is the one who will die. The Lord assured them that each and every soul belongs to Him. Each individual will be judged and have to answer to God for what they have specifically done. But don't God's words stick in our heart like a dagger? Ouch! The soul who sins is the one who will die. We will die for our sins, not for our Father's sins. With sober judgment, Lyle did not want the sins of his father to come down on him, to be passed down to him and his children and their children after them, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him, hate God. He did not want to suffer his father's fate. And so Lyle vowed never to drink alcohol at all. He was not going to let the temptation for drunkenness overtake his life. He set his heart on saving his family's name. and staying close to the Lord. He put himself through school, was a successful businessman, had a wife and three small children. He was there to prove that he was not the bad seed. Actually, he ended up becoming a pillar in the community until he had an affair with his secretary. All the good that he had built up, he destroyed. He loved his secretary, but she was not his wife. He had no right to fall in love with his secretary. His love and his lust for her was a sin against his wife, his children, and most of all, against God. The Israelites couldn't understand why their few sins should actually destroy all that they had built up with the Lord. The Israelites cried out, "The way of the Lord is not just." Oh, Israelites in Babylon, judge correctly or fall under God's judgment. The Lord told the Israelites, "Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he has committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns away from his wickedness as he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Because he considers all of the offenses he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. Judge correctly or fall under God's judgment." "But Pastor, didn't God just say the soul that sins, it will die? How now then can he come and say, if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life? Doesn't the wickedness that he committed earlier still condemn him to hell? If I shoot my neighbor dead for playing his music too loud, will a judge come and say, well, promise me that you'll never do that again and I will let you go free? Of course he won't. Yes, God's law is straightforward. Anyone who sins even once will suffer eternally in hell. God sent Ezekiel to speak both law and gospel. According to the law, the soul that sins must die. But the gospel tells us that there is one who already has died in our place. He was punished and suffered hell for us. He is the Messiah, Jesus. He has fulfilled the law's punishment. But if we walk away from God's mercy, if we turn our backs on Jesus' sacrifice, if we reject this new life that God gives us to live, then all that awaits us is the curse of the law. The Old Testament Israelites knew about God's atonement through the blood of his Son. Every time they slit the throat of a lamb or a goat and spilled out its blood, the dead body depicted the Messiah's sacrifice. The Israelites were steering their lives away from the path of righteousness and down the path of wickedness. By living in disobedience, they were turning their backs on God's forgiveness and the only source of salvation. If they would not judge their own hearts, their own spirits, their own actions in their life in the light of God's word, then God would come and judge them according to the law. What a fearful thing. Each of us has a sinful nature. Therefore, we commit sins. We even have pet sins. Satan would like to put a demon on our backs to torment us. This demon is unspeakably ugly, with evil eyes and fangs and claws, but with a deceptively sweet voice. It echoes in our ears the very words that Satan told Adam and Eve. You are not going to die. He tries to get into our heads and into our hearts with the assurance that it's okay. There's no danger in sin. Rather, it's fun and beneficial, exciting. God's forgiveness is no license to sin. The law still condemns sin in all of its forms. It is not true that it's okay, that there's no danger in sin. We cannot embrace Jesus' forgiveness with one arm and embrace sin with the other. God will not share us with Satan. God calls to us, rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Do you remember how the Pharisees brought a woman before Jesus who was caught in adultery to see whether he would agree for them to stone her to death? Jesus told them, whoever is without sin should cast the first stone. They all left because they all had sins for which God could condemn them for. Then Jesus looked up and reassured the woman that he did not condemn her either. But then he told her, go and sin no more. Notice Jesus didn't say, it no longer matters whether you sin because you know of my forgiveness. No, Jesus was telling her, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Jesus says also to us, go and sin no more. It is important for us to recognize sin in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives, wherever it may lurk. But how do we get a new heart, spirit, and way of life? That power comes only from God, from His holy word in our hearts and souls and lives. He breaks Satan's grip upon us and fills us with his light. Then we will have the power to say yes to righteousness and no to sinfulness. Lyle was caught in his lies and his double life. He was crushed. He cried out, I am no better than my father. Sin is a great equalizer. Our grief opens our eyes to see that we are just as much of a sinner as our worst enemy. But Lyle was more than embarrassed. He was repentant. With many tears, Lyle was sorry for his sins. He begged his wife and the Lord for forgiveness. But more important, he believed in Jesus' forgiveness. It was for these specific sins that he had committed that Jesus died on the cross and spilt his holy blood. Lyell was reassured of God's grace. Lyell then separated himself from the love and lust that he had for his secretary. He had to rid his mind of the memories, wash his heart clean of the desires, and walk righteously with his wife and with the Savior through life, and with not another. As we hold on to Jesus' forgiveness, of what sin must we rid ourselves? Are adulterers in heaven? Are adulterers and murderers in heaven? King David committed both of these sins. Are liars and drunks and prostitutes and dishonest tax collectors in heaven? Jesus told the Pharisees, John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes did. Are there gossips, swindlers, cruel and greedy people in heaven? Have they repented of their sins and trusted in Jesus' sacrifice for forgiveness? Are there perverts, gays, abortionists, and child abusers in heaven? Has God's word worked sorrow in their hearts for their wickedness and given them a firm faith in Jesus' sacrificial death? Have they rid themselves of their offenses? Has the gospel given them a new mind, spirit, and walk in life? Are there people in heaven who struggle with the sins that we struggle with? Jesus paid for all sins. Jesus has made us what we were not, holy children of God, by becoming what he was not, the sins of all mankind. God calls for us, repent and live. Sinners have a new life in the gospel. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The soul who believes is the one who will live. May God always give us repentant hearts that sorrow over our sins and trust in Jesus' blood-bought forgiveness. May God's word have such a powerful place in our hearts that it turns us away from our wickedness and turns us to the path that is right and just in God's eyes. May God give us wisdom. Wisdom to judge ourselves correctly, so that we will not fall under God's judgment. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, our times are in your hands. Graciously, powerfully lead us in the way that is pleasing in your sight. Show us our sins, that our hearts may repent and trust in your full and free forgiveness. Create in us a new heart, O God, that we might walk in the path that is pleasing to you and a blessing for us. In Christ our Savior we pray. Amen.